So we're in this season called Epiphany, and Epiphany is really this sudden unveiling, this almost surprise gift, and kind of what you wouldn't have expected. And what we're going to talk about this morning is really, when you think about it, something you would never expect. I remember having a buddy, and he turned to me and he said, you know, if I were God, and I wanted everyone to believe in me, I would just make everything in every Christian's life work out perfectly. And then everybody would just want to sign up. I thought, you know, that's not a bad idea. But it's interesting, when Jesus left the earth, and he left his followers with this mission to win the earth to belief in him, he left behind only one thing. He was kind of risking his whole mission on one throw. And that one thing that he left behind is something that I bet we would sort of think is unexpected. It seems to be trivial and not that effective, nor even that important. But to Jesus, it must have been vitally important because it's all he gave us. And you know what it was? Community. The only thing he left behind was a community. Now, other things were added. The Bible came, you know, the church buildings, the church infrastructure, all of that stuff was added, and that's not wrong. And those things are vitally important. But the Spirit-filled community was God's primary means. And that's not what you would expect. But there it is. And community, I think, as we ponder it, is a very powerful thing. I saw one of these success posters. And, you know those little things they put up in offices or whatever. And I like this one. It said, don't assume a small group of dedicated people can't change the world. It's the only thing that ever has. See, we often overlook the power of community and the importance of it. And it really is one of the unexpected things that Jesus left behind. And this morning, I want us to just look at really three aspects of it, and I think there are three aspects that emerge primarily as we look at that 1 Corinthians passage that we read this morning. What exactly is community? Why is it such a challenge? And how do we have the power to be a part of it? So what exactly is community? Why is it such a challenge? And where do we find the power to be a part of it? So let's start with what is community? And the best place to start with what something is by getting a clear understanding sometimes of what it is not. And one of the things that community is not, is it's not just a warm, fuzzy feeling you have around everybody. It's not kumbaya. You know, kumbaya might happen sometimes in community, but that's not primarily what community is. And I think we see this when we look at the metaphor that Paul chose in 1 Corinthians to describe community. The metaphor that Paul uses is a metaphor of a body. And that's very significant because a body doesn't really possess warm, fuzzy feelings about its other parts. You know, the eye doesn't look at the elbow and say, you know, you complete me, right? No, a body really is something that is at its core, it's really about being linked together. Linked together. And that's why community really happens all over the place wherever you find yourself linked together. I mean, right now, I feel a certain sense of pride in being linked to the community of Baltimore, right? In this wonderful playoff run and lead up to the Super Bowl, right? We are all linked together, whether you're into the Ravens or not, right? We're all linked together in Baltimore. But you know, that's kind of a small, trivial link, but the greater the link, the greater the significance. Think for a second. Think of where are you linked? Where are you just kind of joined with people? You're linked together in your neighborhoods. You're linked together in your homes. You're linked together in your offices. But the greatest link, Paul would say, is the link together of the people of faith. That this community is going to be the vessel by which the message of Jesus Christ is spread. So community, first and foremost, it's not primarily about warm and fuzzy, although hopefully warm and fuzzy happens. Community is about being linked. And where you're linked, there is community. But community is more than that. It's also the place where you have to care for one another. And again, this image, this metaphor of the body, okay? The parts all need each other to function. And that while that care is an emotional, you know, when we get to the human level, it's an emotional thing. But again, I think Paul rightly picks this analogy that the truth is, you know you're in community, you know you're really in community when you actually need each other. And that's why the community of Baltimore and the Ravens is nice and it's a little glow, but it really doesn't impact my life. The communities that impact my life are those groups of people that I'm linked together with and I actually need them. I need them to function. I like to break the word down, community, into the two words, common unity. Community is that place where we unite. And to follow Jesus in this world is to be part of community. One of the things that kind of popular today in this day and age is what I call people that identify themselves as SBNR. SBNR. You know what that means? Spiritual but not religious. Right? That's actually a very popular label for today's day and age. And I understand why people feel that way, because they go to churches and they see the hypocrisy, the unnecessary rigidness, maybe it doesn't connect with them at all, and they, you know, it's actually can stifle their faith. So they say that they're spiritual but not religious. But I think back to that, Jesus would say, I don't know how you do that. I think he would say, I'm not quite sure how you can have faith apart from community. Because community is really essential, and coming to a place where you're linked together in dependence upon each other is really one of the primary forming grounds of faith. And spirituality is, in fact, worked out often in community. So why is community then so hard? It shouldn't come as a surprise, I don't think, that something so central to our spiritual life is so amazingly difficult. I mean, look at Jesus, his little band of followers that he left behind. I mean, you've got Peter shooting off at the mouth at every turn. You've got James and John kind of finagling, using their mother to kind of ask Jesus to get the top jobs, you know. You've got Thomas, who won't believe a thing anybody says until he sees it. And you've got Judas that ends up betraying him. I mean, while community is vitally important, it's incredibly difficult. And I think Paul, again, in this passage, points out two of the things that make community so hard. There's lots of others, but two of the things that make community so difficult, and the first is our own insecurities. In 1 Corinthians 14, 15, he says, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not part of the body. One of the things that happens when you link up with people and you actually need them is you start to feel how inadequate you really are. And oftentimes those feelings of inadequacy and those insecurities keep us back from really entering into community. Community, when you actually link up with other people and you really need them, you see sides of yourself, and it often makes you feel insecure. I my friend Paul here, who I play basketball, he's here this morning, and I was thinking of this. I was thinking, when I shoot baskets in my front yard, you know, and it's just me, I mean, I'm on fire. and not only that, like, I don't keep track of my misses. But when I go to play with Paul and his friends and I'm playing and I'm part of a team and we're in a game and I shoot a three-pointer and get nothing but air, like, I feel it in a whole different way than I feel it when I'm in my front yard with nobody watching shooting hoops. When you link up with others and you need one another, one of the things that happens is you can become conscious of your inadequacies and you can feel insecure. And insecurity sometimes makes us withdraw. But oftentimes our insecurity doesn't present itself as insecurity. Very often your insecurity presents itself as things like envy. You know? Who does that hand think he is? I mean, look at that hand showing off. Why does the elbow think he's so important? I mean, or false humility, you know? I'm just a little old eye. I don't really do anything that matters. Very often, one of the things that makes community hard is our own insecurity. But there's another attitude that is a community killer, and it's pride. I kind of like this other word that one of the commentators I read put it, disdain. Again, in that passage in 1 Corinthians 14, you know, on one level we look up and we get insecure, but another thing that can often happen in community is we look down and we get full of disdain. And Paul says, he puts it this way, he uses the metaphor, he says, you know, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. But it's tempting for the eye to say that. Because the eye's like, hey, dude, without me, you can't see anything. So what, I don't, you know, little old hand, we can replace that. I have no need of you. One of the reasons we find community hard is we don't want to need each other. I don't know why I thought of this story, but I did. I was thinking when I was newly married, and we lived in this first floor apartment in Towson, and they had this dishwasher. It wasn't like a dishwasher that was hooked to the wall. It was like one that you rolled out and you had to hook up to the sink. And I don't know if you ever had one of those. But one, you know, one day it broke. And I said to my wife, I said, the dishwasher is broken. And she looked at me and she said, fix it. And I remember saying to her, like, what do you think that every 12-year-old boy is taken out in the woods and taught appliance repair by his dad? Like why do I have to fix this dishwasher? But sure enough, I drag the thing over to the sink and I'm trying to hook up the lines and I'm doing all this stuff and I'm like, I can't fix this, you know? I'm just angry. And, you know, the thought of ever asking anyone to help me, like, never crossed my mind, right? We get proud. We don't want to need others. We think it's all about us, and we want to be able to do it all, and we don't like that feeling, really, of actually needing other people to come through for us. But without that feeling, you're really not in community. So community is vitally important. It's this process of being linked together with other people in a way that you actually need each other and must care for one another. And that when one hurts, we all hurt. When one wins, we all win. It's a powerful, powerful thing. In fact, so powerful that Jesus said, this is what I'm going to leave behind to win the world. But it's also very difficult. Because once we link up and once we actually start needing each other, all of these emotions and realities of insecurity and pride and all of that stuff tend to rear their ugly heads. And so where do we get the real power necessary, the real spiritual power necessary to be involved in community in such a way that you win the world? And I would say this, and in order to really be in the kind of community that Jesus was calling, you need to make the turn. What do I mean by make the turn? Well, relationships crumble, particularly community crumbles, when we turn towards one another. And when we look at one another. And when we look at one another, we look and we either see our own faults or we see our own insecurities or we see the inadequacies of someone else. And it's inevitable when we turn towards each other that community crumbles. The only way that community can be sustained is if we make the turn and instead of standing face to face, we turn shoulder to shoulder. And when we turn shoulder to shoulder, there needs to be something greater than us that makes us turn. And we need to be pursuing together something bigger than anything we could do individually. C.S. Lewis described community this way. He said community is what he calls a you two moment. You know, you're like, hey, I love Jesus. You too? I do too. Hey, that like let's turn shoulder to shoulder and together let's push on. And so there has to be, in order for you to be meaningfully engaged in community, something great has to turn you from face to face to shoulder to shoulder. And I love how one friend described it. In order for that to happen, you must allow your heart to be conquered by a greater love. And that's why Jesus, the night he was betrayed, brought his friends together. He took his body and he broke it. And he took his blood and he spilled it. And he said, listen, let this greater love capture your heart. Let it control you. Let it be the thing that helps you make the turn. And so that shoulder to shoulder, we can go out and we can win the world. Amen?